journey. That journey is called life. That journey began when you were born. And that started a series of events that took place in your life. As you grew up in your home, as you went through schooling, as you got a job, and as you maybe got involved in church, it's a journey. It's a path that we're all on, that we're discovering things and learning things. And I want to remind you this morning that you are the person that you are today because of the journey that you've lived from the day you were born. Good and bad, joyful moments and painful moments, they all made you the person that you are today. And this journey that God has given to us is one that we call life. We call life, and it's one that we need to live with passion. And as we veer to the left and veer to the right and have ups in our lives and downs in our lives and heartbreaks and heart, joy and love and all those things, we go through this life and journey and we cross paths, don't we? We cross paths with others. And I find these moments of these paths crossing is when relationships take place. It's when connections happen. It might be just an acquaintance that you meet at a coffee shop. It might be just the person that's checking you out at the grocery store. That's just a brief thing. But sometimes when those paths cross, what happens? You make a friend, a lifelong friend, someone that's with you through life. Do you have friends like that in your life? Do you have people in your life that you met the first time and you're still in connection? Even if you're not living in the same place, even if you're not living in the same state, there's still that connection. There's phone calls, there's text messages, there's encouragement for each other as you're doing. Sometimes these things cross. What happens? You get married, right? You find your spouse, you find the love of your life, and now you marry this person. So these things that cross in our journeys make us who we are today. And it's fun. The journey should be fun, right? Are you enjoying your journey? I would say some of us would say, yeah, I'm loving my journey. Others would say, I'm hoping the journey takes an exit here soon. Slow down or speed up or whatever it is, because sometimes the journey's hard, right? Sometimes it's like, man, God, even if you know God, what's going on? What's happening in my life? Other times you're like, Lord, thank you so much for my life. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my jobs. Whatever it is. But the journey is here, and it's fun along the way, and we might look back and say fond memories, whether they call them milestones in our life, right? Times when things happened, whether it's, your first job or your first, boyfriend or girlfriend or first marriage, well, only marriage, let's hope. It's like, oh, there's those milestones in our lives. But here's what I want to point out to us. Though the journey might last some years, it's the destination that's the most important. Do you hear me? The journey's okay. The journey's important, but the destination is the most important thing. Where are you going? Where do you want to go? What is in your heart this morning? What is your deepest desire that you would like to see happen in your life before you go to heaven? What is it? What's that destination? What's that point? See, what I see in Revelation chapter 15 is God getting someone to their destination. And I want us to believe this morning that though the journey might have its twists and turns and ups and downs, there's a destination that God wants for you, and he's going to get you there. Do you believe you're going to heaven this morning? Yes. Do you believe God will get you there? Do you believe sometimes it's going to be hard and sometimes it's going to be easy? But one day we're going to get there, my friends. And that's what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 15. We're seeing some people that made it through the tribulation period, that seven-year period of devastation and difficulties, making it, and they're finding themselves in heaven. And to me, that encouraged me to say, God's going to get us there. Whatever you're going through this morning, God's going to get you there. Maybe you have heartache. Maybe you're in a place of unknown. Maybe you're in the middle of between jobs. Maybe you're between moves. Maybe you're living with your folks. Maybe you're whatever. It's like, you're in the middle, but there's a destination, and God's going to get you there, and you have to believe, right? You got to believe in your heart that God is looking out for you. Paul says it to the church of Philippi in Philippians 1:6. He says, he that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He that began a good work. What was the beginning of that great work in your life? Salvation. when you opened your eyes and when you invited Jesus into your heart, when you received the gospel, he that began that good work will be faithful to complete it. See, he's not going to let you go, guys. He's going to let you drift off here and there to get your attention, but he's not going to let you go. He's going to make sure you get there. Jesus said this, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent." That's the work of God in your life, that you would believe more in the God, in Jesus, than you did before, believing in him. Revelation chapter 15, we're probably, because it's communion, we're probably only going to look at the first four verses. But I believe there's two powerful points here that we're going to look at. So let's just read the first two verses in chapter 15, verse 1. John says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God." So, if we're talking about God will get you there, we're looking at a group of people here that John sees as he's looking into heaven. He sees seven angels with these seven plagues. Chapter 15 is the prelude to the last seven angels that bring the seven bowl judgments. Okay, so this is kind of getting ready for it. Chapter 16 is all about the seven bowls of God's wrath and judgment that's going to be poured out on mankind. But here in chapter 15, John sees these seven angels getting ready. And he sees a sight. Did you see the description? Great and marvelous. I don't know about you. Oh, I said it. But when I see the Bible say great and marvelous, I think that's John's way of saying, I'm seeing something I can't even describe. Think about it. A sea of glass. If you've ever been to the ocean when it's flat as can be, have you ever been there? I lived in South Florida, and when I used to go to the beach and saw that the ocean could be as flat as glass, it was quite a sight. I mean, this is the ocean. I could see a lake, a pond, but the ocean, flat as can be. And this is what I kind of see in my mind. It's like, here's the sea, just flat as glass, and there's fire in it. It's quite a sight you must be seeing. I want us to think for a moment, before we get into what God's going to get us, as John's seeing this vision that's great and marvelous, think about what John has been seeing over the last few chapters. He's been seeing beasts. He's been seeing God's wrath being proclaimed by angels. And now in this vision, he's seeing a sea of glass with fire mingling in it, and he's seeing people standing on it. Have you ever noticed in your life that when you go through a difficult time or in a difficult season, that God has a way of showing you something that just encourages you? God has a way to just give you a glimpse of hope in the midst of discouragement. You know, I always think about like sunrises and sunsets. Have you ever stopped to look at those? There's someone in our church that loves to take pictures of them. She has thousands of them. Pastor RJ's wife, that is. She just loves sunsets. If you've ever stopped and looked at a sunrise or a sunset, you won't think about your problems. You know, we're in the springtime. My front yard's blooming all kinds of flowers. It's an amazing thing. What are those plants? There's plants along my driveway. I bet I'm going to have 500 flowers getting ready to pop and bloom. When I see this kind of thing, that God takes that kind of attention and detail to something and puts it there, we get encouraged. When God does something amazing in your life, you get encouraged, even in the midst of difficulties. And so we need to be watchful. We need to be mindful of what God's going to show us and God's going to reveal to us that might be great and marvelous, even though we're in the midst of difficulty. Again, John was seeing all these pictures of demonic forces and evil and wickedness, and now he's seeing this great and marvelous sight. It must have been so encouraging from John. I'm always trying to study from John's perspective of the things that he's seeing. What in your life is great and marvelous? I love seeing newborn babies. That's a great and marvelous thing. It's a beautiful sight to behold. And when you look at a little baby, innocent and pure, and you just think, oh, life is good, right? As long as they're not crying. It's good. Babies, love them. They bring you this encouragement. See, then John sees something else. After he sees this great and marvelous vision, he sees what? Look at it in verse 2. He says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast." He sees the vision, but he sees people standing on the water or standing on the sea of glass, whatever it is. Who are these people? He describes them to us very clearly. Those that have the victory over the beast, who haven't taken their mark, who haven't bowed down to the image. It's those who make it through the 7-year tribulation period. Guys, if God can get these people through the 7-year tribulation by faith in Christ, he can surely get us there, right? He's going to get them through. Do you realize the 7-year tribulation period is the worst time to be on the face of the earth? It's going to be the most difficult time to survive. Many of these people probably were martyred for their faith because they wouldn't bow down to the image of the Antichrist. Because they believed in Jesus, they lost their life. And here they are standing on the sea of glass. I can't wait to see the picture. I can't wait. We might be able to think about it in our minds, but I can't wait to be able to see. And John's looking and seeing them standing there. Almost said it again. Seeing them standing on the sea of glass is what really ministered to my heart. They're not laying there. They're not sitting down. They're not exhausted. By God's grace, he has them standing there in his presence. Do you understand the power of the presence of God? Do you understand what it is to truly be standing in the presence of God? God has given them the strength to stand. And guys, if we're gonna let God get us there, we're going to have to stand through tough times. We're going to have to stand strong for the Lord. Yes, we're going to have to fight. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. But we need to stand strong with God with us. I don't know about you. Sometimes we get wore out. Sometimes we wore down, and we just want to take a nap. I just want to sleep. We're all so tired. And God's saying, no, I need you to stand up for me. I need you to stand and strong for me. And with God's help, we can stand. Amen? Whatever it is you're going through, I don't care. There's sweet sister in our fellowship, most of you know, lost her mother just here recently, tragically. How do you stand through that? By God's grace. How do you stand by that? Through that? By the love of the body of Christ. There's no words, right? Oh, it'll be okay. No, those aren't the words. You say that in the situation. You know what you say? God's with you. God's strengthening you through it. I know it's hard. Some of us may have experienced it in our past, but we're going to trust and stand with you. And that was my text to this girl. I am so sorry this happened, but I want you to know there's a church that's standing with you during your trial. The good thing is, we don't have to stand alone. We stand with each other. They were all standing on the same, together, all of them. It's something about fellowship that's so amazing, isn't it? Sweet fellowship of the body of Christ. Those that are in your life that'll say, hey, I'm with you. I want to encourage you in that. See, these people were the ones that made it through. Where they were is they were standing. Notice where they're standing in verse 1. It says, I saw another sign where? In heaven. They're in heaven. So they're standing in heaven with Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. What does it take for you to stand in victory? What would it take for you to stand in victory? Now, don't tell me, well, if I had enough money to pay my bills, or if I got along with my kids, or my marriage was on fire, we had so much love. Don't tell me those things. See, standing victoriously in God means two things. And if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, two things. Number one means enduring hard times. That seems kind of, what does that mean? Enduring hard times, it means we all go through difficult times. We all have seasons that we go through that are hard. For the believer, if we're going to make it to the end, we're going to be able to have to endure those times. And endure those times with God's strength. I want you to turn over to Hebrews right now. Hebrews chapter 12. Right in the first verse. Enduring hard times. Verse 1, chapter 12 says, your page is turning, so I'll wait. Verse 1, chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Here's verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? The reason I share this with you is because here's the opportunity for us when we're going through a difficult time. How do we endure? How do we get through? Do we just convince ourselves we'll make it? No. We look to Christ first. We look to him. He endured such pain and such suffering and such ridicule towards himself. It encourages us. We're followers of Christ. He did it. I can do it. He did it with God's help. How did Jesus endure all that? He was in constant prayer to the Heavenly Father, right? So we need to remember what Jesus did if we're going to endure hard times, because we're followers of him. But notice it says, hard times in your life can be a result of two things I see here. Number one, they can be a result of some sin you are not dealing with. Notice it says, in the first verse, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. If there's sin that you're not dealing with in your life, you're going to have a hard time enduring. If you deal with addictions, listen, addictions can be good or bad, right? If you're addicted to drugs and alcohol, that's bad. If you're addicted to loving on others, that's good. Right? So what are we addicted to in our lives? If there's sin in our lives, that could be a reason why we're having a hard time. Because there's that darkness, there's that negativity, there's not that release of and forgiveness that we get from God if we confess it to God. But the other thing in this very area of Scripture, it could be God allowing it to happen in your life to get your attention and bring you correction. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If you don't discipline your children, guess what? They grow up to be disobedient kids. So the Heavenly Father is going to correct us. He's going to chasten us. He loves, he chastens, he corrects. So it could be God just saying, wake up for a moment. I need your attention. I need you to get through this. This verse also says, let us run the race with endurance. Run the race that's set before us with endurance. I used to be a runner. And one thing I liked about running official races was the encouragement you got along the sidelines. People saying, keep on going. If you've ever run, if you've ever done anything, you know you want to give up. You know your legs are hurting. Your lungs are feeling like they're going to explode. And you're like, how many more miles? This is ridiculous. But you got people along the sidelines that are saying, you're doing great. You're doing good. They got signs. You know, they're encouraging you. This is the same in our Christian walk. When you're going through life, when you're on this journey and you're trying to get somewhere and it's hard and it's difficult and you want to quit and you want to give up, I pray you have people in your life that are encouraging you to go, I'm going to keep going. You need to keep going. Do you have people in your life that are those encouragements to you? Do you have people in your life that will honestly and forcefully say to you, you're messing up, stop doing that, or keep on doing what you know is right? We need people like that. The best place the enemy can put you is all by yourself. You'd be all alone and think you're either doing fine or you're just totally giving up because it's hopeless. Guys, let's make sure there's people in our lives that are keeping us accountable and encouraging us in our walk with God. That's how we endure hard times. We look to Jesus and we have others in our lives. Right? It's so important that we have people in our lives looking into us. The other thing that I see, not only do we need to endure hard times, we need to rely on the truth and deny evil. Rely on truth and deny evil. James says this, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that a great verse? See, I think some of us want to go, I'm going to resist the devil and he'll flee. No, we need to submit to God first. We need to submit. And submitting to God is what? Putting yourself under the authority of God. Are you being obedient to what God is telling you? Are you doing what God's word says? I wrote this down in my notes. I said, listen, one of the things that God says in his word, it says that children are to honor their mothers and their fathers. If you're in here and you're a child, where's the other kids? There we go. Honor your father and mother. What the Bible doesn't say? Honor your father and mother when they're doing the right thing. We're to honor our parents because what? It's the position that God has given to them. But Jesus also said, listen, it's the only commandment with a promise. It'll do well with you. In fact, it's in Ephesians chapter, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to turn there. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read it right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. Summer, do you want to live a long time? You need to honor your mother. Where's Jacob? You want me to speak a little more clearly? Jeremiah, you want to live a long life? It's a liar. He's a liar. But that's an example of what the Word of God says. And the Word of God goes on and talks about husbands and wives, employees and bosses, and how we're to respect each other and act with each other. And guys, if we're living the truth, if we're relying on truth and denying evil, so much evil in our world, so much evil in the things that are out there today. I feel terrible for this young generation that are up under this, all the drugs and alcohol, they just feel like they have the right to try. When I was a kid, I watched the movies in school, you know, the black lung they put up there and said, don't smoke. This is what you'll get if you smoke. That worked for me. I was like, I don't want that. You know? Littering. I still, to this day, can't get over littering. Even after our Adopt-A-Mile cleanup yesterday morning, picking up stuff. It's like, didn't we see the commercial with the Indian on the horse? When they threw the garbage out, the tear that ran down. I said that to some young people last week. They're like, I've never seen that. It's like, we need to show that again. I'm just amazed what people think is okay to throw out the window. Oh, I'm done with my McDonald's cup. Out the window. It's like, guys, we got to rely on the truth. God's given us dominion over this world. We're to be taking care of it. I digress. For God to get us there, we got to endure hard times. We got to rely on the truth. And we got to deny evil. It's just that simple. And if there's sin or something going on in your life, you can try all you want on your own to overcome it. But there are people that want to pray with you and want to encourage you and want to walk with you to help you get through that, to get past that, get victory over that. I am thankful for the other pastors that are in my life that we get together every month, and we sit down and we talk and we share and we encourage each other. That's what we need to be doing, is encouraging each other, and that's how we're going to endure. They were able to stand, these tribulation saints were able to stand at the end because God got them there. But here's the next thing, and this is where we're going to, oh boy, let's go quickly to Revelation chapter 15. I knew I wasn't going to get there all the way to the end. Not only were they standing, notice next what they're doing, verse 3. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Not only were they standing in the end, they were also singing. Worshiping God, glorifying God, praising God. And they're singing the song of Moses, which is so cool. Now, here's the thing. Some of us might think, well, I'm not a very good singer. And I'm not. I can tell you what. As long as the music's playing, I sound pretty good. It's like when I sing a cappella, whew, cats start screaming. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And here we are living in Music City, right? A lot of musicians, a lot of gifted people, and I respect that. But God doesn't care about that. God just wants you to have a song in your heart, a praise the Lord that comes out of you. The song of Moses, if you remember, it's in Exodus chapter 15, and they sang that after God got them through the Red Sea, on the other side of the Red Sea, right? And then the sea closed and destroyed all the Egyptians. Do you know how long it took after God did that for them to start complaining? 3 days. 3 days. I bet it takes us less than that. God, you're so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can't believe they did that. You know, it's like all of a sudden something happens. It's like, ugh. It's like, wait a minute. You were just praising me. Now you're cursing somebody. It's like, here's the thing. They were singing this song of Moses because God got them to heaven. We praise the Lord because of the things he does with us, does for us, gets us through. So there's going to be times in your life that are difficult, but then you're going to see God do a work in your life, and at that moment, there needs to be a praise that comes out of you, a song that comes out, even if it's a prayer that just comes out of you and say, God, look what this prayer says. I love it. Great and marvelous are your works. Do you realize that's what John started this description in the first verse? Great and marvelous was the vision. Great and marvelous are your works. The word great means big. His works are big, they're huge, they're strong. Marvelous means they're extraordinary. Have you found God's works to be extraordinary in your life? When God does something in your life, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's like, Lord, this is more than I asked. In fact, it's exceedingly abundantly more than I've asked. That's how good God is. Great and marvelous are your works. Just and true are your ways. Have you found this to be true in your life? Think about it for a minute. Have you found this to be true in your life? Great and marvelous are your works. Just and true are your ways, God. I would imagine if all of us took time to think about that and kind of let all the complaining and the moaning and groaning fall away, we'd probably go, God, you're amazing. The fact that I'm even here in this spot in my life today, Lord, you're amazing. Are you singing a song to the Lord? Are you praising him for the works that he's doing in your life? Guys, this is what's going to help us get there. This is what's going to help us endure hard times. This is what's going to help us to rely on truth because God is just so good. And if you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm not seeing that in my life lately, do you know the remedy? Get around somebody that is. When I see that God is doing a work in your life, that so encourages me. We brought Austin and Krista up so that we could praise God for what God's done in their lives. God's done a work in their lives, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And he wants to do that in our lives as well. Are we trusting in him? The children of Israel got through the Red Sea. 3 days later, they're complaining because there was no water. And when they found water, guess what? It was bitter. Has that ever happened in your life? When God does something amazing in your life, do you know what happens? Satan comes right behind and wants to steal it. Satan wants to rob the blessings that God wants to give to you. The remedy for Moses and the children of Israel was that Moses cried out to God. He said, God, what do I do? And God gives him the answer. Grab a tree, stick it in the water, and it became sweet. The beautiful thing about it is, guys, we give him praise, we worship him, Satan tries to steal it, but we just keep on keeping on in our faith and saying, God, I knew this was coming. We need to know it's coming. When something great happens in your life, Satan's going to try and steal it. Don't let him. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and he'll get you through. So let's endure, shall we? We're going to partake in communion right now. But I want us to be thinking, am I standing strong in God? Is he getting me to the place that I want to be? Is there a song in my heart? Do I give God that praise for the work that he's done in my life? I know every single one of us can find a reason to sing a praise to God in our lives today. Even if you're going through a tough time, if you're in the middle of tribulation and trial, you still have a reason to praise God. So as I close this in prayer and the men get the elements together, I want us to be thinking, am I standing strong in God? Am I trusting in him? Am I enduring through hard times? And is there a song in my heart? Father God, I thank you for the power of your word today. And I thank you that John so eloquently has written down this vision in your word to remind us, God, that great and marvelous are your works. Just and true are your ways, God. And I know, God, it's going to break your heart to pour out your wrath upon unrepentant earth. Because your will is and your desire is that all would come to know you. That all would be saved. That all would live for you. I pray for every single person in this room, God. I pray that the journey that they are on, the life that they are living, is being orchestrated by you and being directed by the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, that they would be encouraged this morning. That you have a great purpose and plan for them this week. And that if they would listen and if they would pray and if they would seek your face, that you would speak to them, God. And that you would show them what it is you want them to do. That maybe they're the person that's going to encourage someone else who's discouraged. That maybe they're going to pray with someone who doesn't feel like they need to pray or even the desire to pray. That they would be that voice of truth in someone's life. And I pray for accountability in this church, God. I pray that we would not just try to do life on our own, that we would be sharing things with others so that they can pray for us and encourage us. And as we hold these elements in our hands and as we remember what you've done, God, I pray that we would be just overjoyed. Truly a song would come out of us that would give you thanks for who you are, what you're doing, and where you're taking us. To you be the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.